Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Sean Eldridge, you're running against Chris Gibson in the 19th District. You're the Democratic candidate. And I wanted to ask you some specific things. Probably the toughest thing right now as we speak is Israel. We find the cross borders, you know, rockets and things landing on both sides. What would you do?
Yeah, for me, this is a very personal issue. My mother was born in Israel. Both of my grandparents were Holocaust survivors. My grandparents actually met. My grandmother survived Auschwitz and then Bergen-Belsen, and my grandfather was in Mauthausen. They met one another in Italy in the refugee camps after World War II, and then they migrated to Israel. And my grandfather actually fought in 1948 in the War of Independence. Eventually, our family got tired of war, and that's how they ended up moving here. I certainly think that Israel is an incredibly important ally for the United States. And for me, you know, personally, I have that connection. I really hope we see a ceasefire take place. The increase in hostilities in the last few weeks have been pretty tragic. The number of lives that have been lost, and particularly Palestinian lives that have been lost, has been very heartbreaking. I think Israel definitely has a right to defend itself. But I hope we will have a ceasefire. And, you know, it's what's frightening to me now, too, is technology is playing a bit of a role here. There were Hamas and Hezbollah, and I think both now have drones, and they have drones that can fly over Israel and over civilian areas. So I think there's a very real threat to Israeli security. At the end of the day, we need a two-state solution. We need peace.
Sean, are you pessimistic? I mean, I am. I just really wonder whether we can ever solve this thing.
You know, I'm optimistic because we have to solve this thing. And I'm optimistic about our Congress. You know, even though we have the least productive Congress in the history of our country, I think that at the end of the day, people want to do what's right for their family and for their community. And so in this case, I think that both Israelis and Palestinians, many of whom I've talked to, do believe that finding a long-term path to peace is what's good for them. It's going to be good for their kids. It's going to be good for their grandkids. And people are very tired of war. I don't think it's easy. Obviously, we've been talking about this peace process for decades. I hope we're not talking about it for decades more. But I do think a two-state solution is what's required to get us there. I hope we'll have the political will on both sides. I hope that the Palestinians will be a real partner in negotiation. And I hope the United States will be a partner in helping to make that peace process happen. But that's what we need to do.
Well, that's the question, of course. The United States historically has been an ally of Israel. And, you know, it gets sometimes criticized for that. Would you change any of that?
Well, I think Israel is an incredibly important ally, and I think Israel has the right to defend itself like any country does. But I think the United States should be aggressive in pushing toward peace. I mean, obviously, we do provide quite a bit of aid to both parties. And if there's any way that we can, you know, use that support to bring people together, to force them to have that conversation and to bring about a peace process, you know, the United States should do everything in our power to help bring about peace. I do think it's what's heartbreaking and tricky now is we're seeing so many civilians being killed in Palestinian areas, but we're also seeing Hamas, you know, put their weapons and put their militants in homes with families. We're seeing really tragic outcomes because, you know, in many cases, you'll have these rockets that are really underneath a bedroom. And it puts Israel in a terrible situation where they have to defend their civilians and they have to protect their country. And at the same time, you have a group of people who are willing to have families and children right next to these rockets. And it's a terrible situation. And I think the fact that Israel, in many cases, calls ahead to let people know that they're going to be bombing or they're going to be coming in, they go to, I think, more lengths than most countries do to try to prevent civilian casualties. And I think that's very important. But I hope we'll get a ceasefire now in the short run, and I hope we'll go back to the long-term table for a long-term negotiated peace, because that's what we need.
Now, we've got 5 minutes left in this interview. I wanted to talk to you, Sean Eldridge, about something you mentioned earlier in an earlier time, which was that you were on the board of Scenic Hudson.
Yes.
And you have watched the environmental distress that we've been in. My great hero, Pete Seeger, did so much to, you know, clean up the Hudson. Are you satisfied with progress?
No, we have a lot more to do to protect our environment. And in our district, I hear about it every day from voters, particularly fracking in the western part of our district, in places like Otsego County. Last night, I was in Oneonta and Cooperstown. And folks there, many people got involved in politics for the first time because of fracking. They realized the potential threat to our water, to our environment, to public health. And they're most people I speak to do not want to see fracking
in our
region. But
this puts you at dissonance with your own president, with Barack Obama.
That's right. I think our president has focused quite a bit on natural gas without talking about very often the environmental impact. And I disagree with him on that. If he wants to talk about natural gas, I hope he'll talk about the potential negative side of it. And I don't see that often enough. So fracking, I think, is very important. I want to be very clear. I do not support fracking in our region. I'm not convinced that we can do it safely. And even if it wasn't for the environmental impact, I think it's the wrong approach for economic growth. It could be short-term jobs, and it would put at risk the environmental strengths and the economic strengths we have. You know, people in many cases live here and move here and start a business here because this is an incredibly beautiful area. And if we had, you know, all of these trucks with water and the damage to our land, and we were left with a mess afterward, I think it would be a short-sighted approach to economic growth. And our congressman supports fracking. Chris Gibson sends letters out to his constituents saying that we should frack in our region. And I feel differently. So I think it's an important difference between us. He's also funded by ExxonMobil and other companies that are some of the largest frackers in the country. And I think, unfortunately, on environmental issues, we often see that connection between corporate support for both parties, for candidates, and then candidates doing the wrong thing for our environment. And I think it's one reason I'm so passionate about the need to get rid of Citizens United and reform our campaign finance system.
How would you do that?
Well, I think we could have a constitutional amendment, which I
would
support for Citizens United. I don't think—
You can't get a bill through the House of Representatives.
I don't think it would be easy to amend the Constitution, but I think this rises to the level of being important enough to do it. And I also support a partial public financing system that would elevate the voices of small donors. You know, there was a bill in the New York State Senate and the Assembly, as well as in the Congress, that would be a 6-to-1 match, a match of small contributions that would ultimately make our elected officials less reliant on the big corporate money.
Well, you said there was a bill. I'm sorry, Sean, but it was a phony bill, in all honesty, because they wanted just to start with poor Tom DiNapoli and, you know, the rest. These guys, I mean, we have a governor who's probably going to run with $50 million in his account.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I was disappointed that—
Crocodile
that it,
tears
it,
to me.
It did not pass. The bill that I'd been advocating for did not ultimately pass in Albany. And there are versions of that in Congress. I was hoping that New York State would, and I still am hopeful, that we'll lead the charge on campaign finance reform. You know, when I helped run the marriage equality campaign, the successful campaign 3 years ago now in June of 2011, it was incredible to see throughout the country and throughout the world the fact that people paid attention to the moment where we passed. You know, I was on CNN International the day after we passed marriage in New York State, and I was getting questions from North Africa about it, and it was just incredible to see New York's leadership in the world.
What changed? I mean, it was one of the most remarkable turnarounds I have ever seen in my long life.
Yeah, it's been incredible progress. And just the last thing on that point, I think if we were to lead the charge on getting corporate money out of our politics, getting our democracy back to work for voters and families, if New York were to do that, I think similarly you would see the rest of the country and potentially the world pay attention to that. The progress on equality under the law has been just incredible. You know, when I started working on the issue, we only had a couple of states that had the freedom to marry, and now it feels like it's another state every day. To me, it's a really inspiring example of how we can make progress. Republicans and Democrats have moved on this issue. And, you know, I worked with both Republicans and Democrats to pass it in New York State. But to me, we're winning not because we're shrill and we're calling names and we're yelling at each other. We're winning because we're telling personal stories, we're talking about shared values, and we're changing hearts and minds. And that's what we have to do on other issues as well if we want to make progress.
Sean Eldridge is the Democratic candidate for the 19th District Congressional seat held by Chris Gibson now. And Sean, thank you for being with us. And when we come back the next time, I got a whole bunch of other questions to ask you.
Thanks for having me.